Today's scripture readings, there is a word that is used a lot. The word is love. How many times do you think it was used? Anybody want to take a guess? And I mean a lot. Literally, second reading, it's in there 9 times. Gospel reading, it's in there again 9 more times. 18 times the word love appears. And yet, in today's world, what does that word even mean? It was just the 60s and the whole free love hippie movement thing. Love is used to refer to so many different things. We hear that word, it's like, what does the person using it even mean? Part of the handicap is English only has one word for love. John, who is the human author of both the second reading, first letter of John, and the gospel passage, Gospel of John, is writing principally in Greek, biblical era, and it has 3 different words for love. And so when he gets translated, we only have this one. So you got to wonder, what did he even mean? In Greek, you find the word eros, romantic love, and also means physical romantic love. You have the word philos, which is friendship. And then you have the word agape, sacrificial love. Which one do you think John used every single time? The last one. Agape, sacrificial love, which is the kind of love we're supposed to recognize as what God, the kind of love that God is exercising. Yeah. Excuse me. I'll get it out here. Exercised, expressed for us. Most potently expressed like this. Willingly, freely, incarnated, took on our human nature, wedded eternally to his divine nature, and went to the cross freely for us. That is like the perfect expression of sacrificial love, willing to give his own life for the benefit of, for the well-being of, for the good of the entire human race. And you think how expansive that is. Your eternal, almighty, omniscient God. And you willingly spend 9 months in the womb of your mother. Going through infancy, diapers, being fed, being a toddler, being a child, being a teenager. Not like we were a teenager, I grant you that. But he went through all of that, even though he's almighty, eternal, and omniscient God, allows himself to be spat upon, beaten, brutalized, tortured, scourged, nailed by the hands of his own creation. That's sacrificial love, willingly done freely for us. And then what are we hearing from John? And that first letter, the second reading, what does he tell us? This is the kind of love we are called upon to exercise towards each other. And he even goes so far as to say, if you do not know how to love like this, you do not know God. Jesus puts it in forms of a commandment. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And again, what did that look like? This is said at the Last Supper before he goes out and gets ready to do this. We are called to love in that same way. To willingly give our life for the well-being, for the good of another. In its most common expression, where is that kind of love meant to be seen? I'm looking at a whole lot of potentials for it to be happening out here, because a whole bunch of you have already participated in one particular sacrament. And it starts with the word, the letter M. Any married people here? Hello? Don't be shy. I can tell some of you are because you're sitting close together to each other, looking at each other like, what does he mean, us? Yeah, I mean you. What kind of a love does Paul challenge a husband to have for his wife in his first letter to the Corinthians? He says very directly, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his bride, the church. What did Paul do for his bride, the church? This. Willing to lay down your life, or which is exactly the opposite of what Adam did. Remember, he was supposed to have stepped in between Eve and that serpent and protected her from it. And instead, he bailed and went and hid behind a rock someplace and allowed her to be tempted and fall. Jesus does not do that. He comes and he stands in between us and eternal death and its cause, sin, and dies for us and rises from the dead. That's what a husband is called to do for a wife. Of course, the wife doesn't have to do anything, right?
Wrong.
Willingness to give her life for him. Does it go any further? Is marriage meant to be fertile? Apparently, I need to wait on getting an answer for that one. What commandment did God give Adam and Eve? Go forth, be fertile, and multiply, and leave the earth empty. No, fill the earth. Marriage is meant to lead to children. How many? Depends on how many God wills for you, because he knows you perfectly and how many children you can handle. Not how many the world tells you, but how many God knows. And believe me, we are far from filling the earth. In fact, the earth is starting to depopulate. That's a sacrifice. You know, one of the things that causes maturity to happen between a man and a woman who are husband and wife and become mothers and fathers is having children. They cause you to finish growing up. And there's some sacrificial love. You know, how many parents, you know, the first child's on the way and they have this basically delusion that everything's just going to be perfectly rosy and happy and all kinds of photo ops to send to grandma and grandpa about how wonderful and beautiful and pert this little child is until they hit about somewhere between 1 and 2 years old. Some of you, I can tell, know exactly what I meant. You know, there's a call for sacrificial love because you have to become a mother and a father to that child, not their friend, their parents, and raise them up. In fact, that challenge is laid upon you at their baptism because you are meant to be their teachers in the ways of faith, which means you need to bring them here and raise them up in it and help them to know how to live it by watching you. Love one another as I have loved you, all the way to our own cross, where we willingly give our life for the well-being, the good of others. And that's in the midst of a world that has become increasingly prideful, selfish, self-centered, obstinate, envious, and jealous. Because our world today teaches you to do what? Just think of yourself. Why do you think there's so much anger around us in this world today? That's sitting at the root of it. That concept of the kind of love that we as faithful Catholics are called to. We've kind of lost sight of that whole thing about sacrificial love, being willing to give something of ourselves for someone else. And it even happens, it's contaminated its way into marriage and family life. It's like every person for themselves. And we have so many children who grow up not knowing what it is like to be loved because their parents aren't there. They're busy taking care of themselves. Love one another as I have loved you. It means this. See if I can get it to sink in. It means
this. Willing to accept suffering out of love for another person, and it is called for daily. We live in a world that is so bereft of what true love is because there are all these false notions of it floating around. We place so many expectations of what we want other people to do for us and don't give a thought to what God is calling us to do for the people around us, especially within our own household, even within our own parish, within the church, within our state, nation, and in the world. We are in a world literally starving to death to experience what true love is, and it especially needs to be fostered, nurtured, strengthened, fed, lived in the context of the family, between husband and wife, parents and children. You are literally meant to be the root from which how to love like this out there is born and then carried out. You know, you literally, you have your marching orders of what it means to be a faithful Catholic. It's not just a call on the deacon and I. We're called to be very bold and to speak clearly and plainly in here, even when it might cost us somebody who says, yeah, we don't like what you said. Well, guess what? We're called to say it anyway. There are no safe zones. We're not called to be worried about trigger warnings or what is or is not politically correct. We're called to preach this, to live it, but then especially to help you to hear it. Because again, we live in a world that is starving to death for a lack of knowing what it is like to be truly loved, to experience through us the kind of love that God has done for us already. And that we are called to, with complete willingness, to live, to manifest out there. Remember, the Mass has ended, go in peace, isn't it? Gentlemen, start your engines to get into your car and be the first out of the parking lot. It's take what you just received and carry it with you and give it away luxuriantly every single place you go, to every single person you encounter, no matter what the situation is. This is for us to take out there. We are not self-contained. The church has a mission, and it is this that we are commissioned to go and give with complete, utter abandon and freedom everywhere.